سبسدی فرمائیے. اللہ اکبر. الحمد للہ رب العالمین الرحمن الرحیم مالک یوم الدین إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألم تر إلى الذي حاج إبراهيم في ربه أن آتاه الله الملك إذ قال إبراهيم ربي الذي يحيي ويميت قال أنا أحيي وأميت قال إبراهيم فإن الله يأتي بالشمس من المشرق فأت بها من المغرب فبهت الذي كفر والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين. أو كالذي مر على قرية وهي خاوية على عروشها قال أنى يحيي هذه الله بعد موتها فأماته الله 100 عام ثم بعثه قال كم لبثت قال لبثت يوما أو بعض يوم قال بل لبثت 100 عام فانظر إلى طعامك وشرابك لم يتسنه وانظر إلى حمارك ولنجعلك آية للناس وانظر إلى العظام كيف ننشزها ثم نكسوها لحما فلما تبين له قال أعلم أن الله على كل شيء قدير. الله سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. وإذ قال إبراهيم رب أرني كيف تحيي الموتى قال أولم تؤمن قال بلى ولكن ليطمئن قلبي قال فخذ أربعة من الطير فصرهن إليك ثم اجعل على كل جبل منهن جزءا ثم ادعهن يأتينك سعيا واعلم أن الله عزيز حكيم. الله سمع الله لمن حمده. الله الله أكبر الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الصلوات الطيبات. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا. برحمتك يا Thank you.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها وقال الإنسان ما لها يومئذ تحدث أخبارها بأن ربك أوحى لها يومئذ يصدر الناس أشتاتا ليروا أعمالهم فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره صدق الله العظيم وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من قرأ إذا زلزل عدلت له بنصف القرآن رواه الترمذي رحمه الله. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon my most beloved master Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again reminding ourselves that it is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon us that today we have been blessed with the opportunity to sit and discuss the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the blessed Quran. And so today we proceed with Surah Al-Zalzala, which, like the surahs before it that we have mentioned, or in the Quran after it, Surah Al-Adiyat, Surah Al-Qari'ah, Surah Al-Takathur, Surah Al-Zalzala also mentions certain events that will take place prior to and during the day of Qiyamah. And once again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending us a reminder. And He is commanding us to prepare for this very, very scary and very, very amazing day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا. One virtue of this surah before proceeding, Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the Hazrat Imam Tirmizi rahimullah has brought his hadith on the authority of Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, My Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that the person who prays this surah, half the reward of half a Quran will be written for him. In other narrations, it mentions a quarter of the Quran. In one narration, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Do you want to receive reward of reciting the entire Quran?" So he said, "Read Surah Al-Zalzalah 4 times. And there's other hadith that also say, quarter, but as this hadith gives more reward, I have bought this hadith. Because we have umid and we have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most merciful and He will give us maximum rewards. So moving on to the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. And when the earth will shake, it's shaking. وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا. And the ground will remove or throw out its contents. وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا. And the people will say, what has happened to it? So the first discussion amongst the ulama is what or which earthquake is this talking about? So according to some scholars, this earthquake is talking about an earthquake that will take place on the earth close to Qiyamah. So it is one of the major signs of Qiyamah, and very close to Qiyamah, this earthquake, this major earthquake will take place. However, a majority of the scholars explain that this earthquake is actually Qiyamah itself, when the trumpet will be blown and humanity will come to an end. And as mentioned in Surah Al-Qari'ah as well, يَوْمَ يَكُونُ النَّاسِ كَالْفَرَاشِ الْمَبْثُوثِ وَتَكُونُ الْجِبَالِ, the mountains will turn into wool. So this is talking about the destruction of the earth on when Qiyamah actually takes place. And most of the scholars have agreed upon this. And this is accepted majorly. And also it is backed by the context of the surah. When we go through the verses of the surah and the translations and the explanations, it makes for the picture of the day of Qiyamah also. In one hadith, Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that he and another Sahabi went to our beloved mother Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. This is that his companion said to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he asked her about this surah. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha explained that this will happen when 3 things will become rife and common in the world. Number one, when zina, when fornication, when adultery will become legalized, when it will be understood to be halal, when people will say there's nothing wrong with zina, there's, no, it's fine. Look at ourselves today. Isn't this becoming the case? Especially when there are people that are looking for marriage, and this normally takes place in this scenario, and they're going and they are, you know, meeting potential spouses. And in this area, and again, I'm not here to criticize, we are all full of mistakes. We are here simply to remind one another. And it seems that sometimes people in their, due to not having knowledge, they overstep the boundaries in this place. And the ulama have given a fatwa here in this particular context about when going to meet potential spouses, that ala dharura, that we should meet and speak to the potential spouse as much as we need to. That's where Sharia has given some leeway, because otherwise, normally, under normal circumstances, it's not permissible to speak to the opposite gender. And so what happens here is that we go past that what we actually need. So what we'd actually need is maybe sitting in a room, having a conversation, asking questions about each other, just to try and find out if this person is the right person for me to marry. But then what happens is, they like each other, and then the nikah hasn't taken place, and then they're going out for coffee, and we're just getting to know each other. No, but at what point does this become zina then? So this is one scenario where we should be more careful. So the Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that when zina will become mubah and it will not be considered as haram, when the consuming of alcohol will become common, and thirdly, when music will become common, she says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have ghairah, and He'll have this protectiveness, this feeling of protectiveness. Ghairah is a word that is very hard to translate into the English language, actually. But we will translate it as protectiveness over the mankind. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send this earthquake as a reminder. Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that whoever takes this reminder, then good for them. Otherwise they will be destroyed. So then Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anha says that, Ya Umm al-Mu'mineen, will this be a punishment? She said, so she replies a beautiful response. Maw'idhatun wa rahmatun lil-mu'mineen. For the believers, it will be a reminder, a form of advice, and a form of mercy. Why? Because as mu'mineen, when we are reminded, then we act according to the reminder, and then it helps us stay on the right path. So this is a form of mercy of Allah. And for the disbelievers, it will be a punishment. So Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that after the passing away of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this conversation with our respected mother made me so happy that if I am a Muslim and I am a mu'min, I will be saved and it will be a source of mercy for me. It says about the son of Hazrat Fudail bin Ayaz rahimahullah. His name was Ali. Hazrat Fudail bin Ayaz rahimahullah, what can I say? He was a great, great saint of the past. Before he was given hidayah and before he turned over a new leaf, he was actually the leader of a group of bandits. He was a leader of a group of bandits, and he was very notorious, and he had his territory, and that territory had become notorious and as a very dangerous place, because it was whoever used to pass through there, they would be robbed by Fudail bin Ayaz and his gang. The many stories is, once a group of people were about to travel through the place, so one of the individuals, he thought to himself, he had some money with him, a bag of coins. So he thought to himself, let me safeguard these coins before we pass through. And he went looking in the area and he found a tent, and he went into the tent and he saw a man praying salah. Very pious. So he waited for him to finish. And then he said, you know, I am about to pass through the territory of Fudail bin Ayaz, and I'm worried about my money. So will you, you know, take care of my money? He said, of course, you know, put it in the corner of the tent. He says that they went through the territory, the group were robbed. He said, everybody's money got taken, but his, he didn't have it with him, so he was okay. He says, on their return, he went and he found the tent. And he walks into the tent, and what does he see? He sees the man who was previously praying salah. He sees him, and the gang of robbers are all around him, and they are counting all the money that they have robbed. So he realized that actually the person who was praying salah and the person who I gave my money to safeguard, he was the leader of the bandits. So he says, "Ya Allah, what have I done today? I've shot myself in the foot. I went to safeguard my coins, but I've only gone and handed it to the leader of the group." So he turned around to go for Fudayl ibn Iyaz. Rahimullah called him back. He said, "Where are you going?" He said, "You know, I made a mistake. I gave you my money to safeguard. And, you know, I realized I gave it to the leader of the bandits." So Fudayl ibn Iyaz, rahimullah, said, "Look, that's your money in the corner." He said, "You came to me. You trusted me. You know, we had an agreement. Here's your money, you take it. This other money, we've robbed it, that's different." And he take your money back. So he was already showing signs of having certain qualities and sifat. He was known to, even before, whilst he was a bandit, he was known to pray a lot of nafil salah. And he used to fast quite often as well. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came and, you know, gave him hidayah, and he turned over a new leaf. Later on, he gained the title of Abidul Haramain. It's a very famous saying of Abdullah bin Mubarak, rahimahullah, who was a great muhaddith. He used to spend 6 months of the year out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and 6 years of the month he would spend in studying a hadith. So he used to say a very famous poem to Fudayl ibn Iyaz rahimullah, who would spend all his time in the Haramain worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He used to say, "Ya Abid al-Haramaini, law absartana, la'alimta annaka fil ibadati tal'abu." He said, "Oh worshipper of the Haramain, if you saw us spending 6 months in the path of Allah, spending 6 months in ta'aleem and ta'allum and studying, لَوْ أَبْصَرْتَنَا لَعَلِمْتَ, you would know, you would understand that you are simply just playing. What you're doing is just a play. The real reward is going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." But Fudayl ibn Iyaz rahimahullah, a very virtuous little tangent to go upon. His son, he had a son called Ali. The ulama have written about Ali that he had so much fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that whenever he would listen to this surah, he could not take it. He would collapse. And he was never able to finish reciting this surah because of the meaning and the mention of Qiyamah. The fear of Allah would strike him and he would be so severely affected by the recitation of this surah. Moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا, and the earth will throw out its load or its contents. So here, there are a few opinions. The first opinion is that, you know, all the gold and the silver and the diamonds that are buried inside the earth, there will, the earth on this time of Qiyamah, it will throw everything out. The second, another opinion is that it's talking about the dead bodies in the qabr. So in the graves, when the second trumpet will be blown, the earth will shake and all the people who have passed away will come out of their qabrs alive. So some ulama say that it's talking about this on the day of Qiyamah, when the first thing that will happen, the people will come out of the graves. Others have said that before Qiyamah, all the gold and the silver will come out of the earth. But then as time goes on, it will be reburied and then it will come out again. To put all of the opinions together, it seems correct to understand that on the day of Qiyamah, when the first trumpet will be blown and everyone will die and the earth will be destroyed, and then the second trumpet will be blown and everything will come out. So it seems correct to understand here that along with the bodies, all of the gold and the silver and the treasures of the earth will also come out. And why will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this happen? The reason why and the wisdom behind this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will want to show the people that this is what you destroy your akhirah for. This. And it will be worthless. There'll be piles and piles and piles of it. And to support this opinion, there's a hadith narrated by Imam Muslim rahimahullah on the authority of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an. He says, and Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, taqiyul ardu afladha kabidiha amthalul ustuwan min al-dhahabi wal-fidda. He says that the earth will release the meat of its liver. يعني أمثال الأسطوان من الذهب والفضة. Pillars and pillars of gold and silver. فيجيء القاتل فيقول في هذا قتلت. He says that a murderer will come. A person who murdered for the sake of wealth. He'll come and he'll look at it all piled up, worthless. And he'll say, في هذا قتلت. I killed for this, and he will have so much regret and so much afsos on that day. Al-qati'u wa yaji'u al-qati'u fayakulu fi hadha qata'tu rahim. He says that a person who broke family ties over wealth, you know, it happened so much today, brothers stop talking to brothers over wealth, or his business is thriving, mine isn't, or they go into business partnership, and there's some argument, and one person leaves the business, and then, you know, they don't have a relationship anymore. It's fine if you two brothers go into a business, and for business reasons they don't get on, that's okay. They can split the business up, and they can move away. But we should maintain our brotherly relationship. We should maintain relationships as they were before. Why should we sacrifice such a beautiful and precious relationship for the sake of wealth? This is the person who broke his relationships. He'll say, because of this, I broke my relationships, and he'll have regret on this day. وَيَجِيءُ السَّارِكُ فَيَكُولُ فِي هَذَا قُتِئْتُ يَدِي. He says that a thief will come. And in Sharia, when in the Islamic countries, sometimes the judge passes the sentence, a person who has thieved, his hand is cut off. So he says that a thief will come. The thief, obviously, his purpose is to achieve wealth. He'll say, because of this wealth, I got my hand cut off. And he says that they'll go and they will not touch any of it, because it will be worthless. So the scholars say that the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring out all of the treasures of the earth is to show the people that this is why you did all of this. This is why you sacrificed your akhirah for the sake of your dunya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true understanding and the true sense of purpose in the dunya. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Moving on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا. The people will say, what has happened to it? Here, the ulama point out, Hafiz ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentions, and other mufassirin have mentioned, that insan is not generic here. It's not insan, it doesn't mean all of mankind. Insan here means the disbelievers only. And to support this, there's a famous hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تقوم الساعة حتى لا يقال في الأرض الله الله. That Qiyamah will not come until there is not a single believer in the world to say Allah Allah. Which means that by extension, Qiyamah will only take place upon the disbelievers, when every single Muslim in the world has passed away, and the dwellers of the earth are none but the non-Muslims. This is when Qiyamah will come. So this whole, number one, the fact that Qiyamah will come upon the disbelievers, and number two, it will be the disbelievers that will have the regret on that day. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا What has happened to it? The reason why they will say this is because they will be in a state of fright. Because previously, before Qiyamah took place, the earth was calm. They were happy. They had their wealth. They had their Jannah on the earth. And suddenly, in a moment, chaos, the reality of their chaos has come upon them. And they will say, what has happened to the earth? You know, all of this, all of our, this was everything for us. Yeah, we fought tooth and nail for the dunya. We sacrificed everything for the dunya. And look at the dunya today, is being destroyed. Everything is worthless. So this state of fright will come upon the disbelievers and they will say, مَا لَهَا What has happened to the dunya? What has happened to it? يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَى لَهَا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on that day, the earth will reveal its news. بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَى لَهَا Why will it do this? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded it to do so. Now, the next question is, the news of the earth. Akhbar, news. The earth will reveal its news. What news is this? So we find in hadith that the news here is referring to the good deeds and the bad deeds of mankind. That whenever we do something good, the earth, we are on the earth is all around us, and the earth is witnessing this. And whenever we do something bad, the earth is also witnessing this. And on that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will command the earth, and the earth will start telling the people that this person did this upon me, this person did this upon me. And the earth will bear witness to all of our actions. There's one hadith narrated by Imam Ahmad, Imam Tirmizi, rahimahumullah, on the authority of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, who says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited this verse, يَوْمَ إِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا قَالَ قَرَعَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَوْمَ إِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا قَالَ أَتَدْرُونَ مَا أَخْبَارَهَا He says that, مَا أَخْبَارُهَا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said to the Sahaba that, Oh my Sahaba, do you know what the news of the earth is? قَالَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ عَلَمْ They said, Allah and His Rasul know best. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أخبارها أن تشهد على كل عبد وأمة بما عمل على ظهرها أن تقول عمل كذا وكذا يوم كذا وكذا. He says that the news of the earth is that the earth will testify upon every slave, male and female, as to what actions they did on the earth. The earth will say that you did this and this on this day, on this time. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us the ability to do tawbah, and He gives us the ability to have the earth testify for those deeds, for those good deeds that we have done. Moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَوْمَئِذٍ يَصْدُرُ النَّاسُ أَشْتَاتًا لِيُرَوْا أَعْمَالَهُمْ On that day, يعني, on the day of Qiyamah, the people will return. Where will they return from? They will return from the reckoning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call them, and then the accounting will take place, and then they will return. أَشْتَاتًا In different groups. So what groups are these? So the ulama have said, and we find in the hadith as well, that when they go, they will be called separately. When they are returning, they will return in with the people who are jannatis. So So the people who are destined for Jannah, may Allah make us from them, they will return in groups of Jannatis. And the people who are destined for Jahannam, may Allah protect us, they will return in groups of disbelievers and Jahannamis. لِيُرَوْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ So that they can be shown their actions. Here actually what it means is they can be shown the result of their actions. They can be shown the reward of their actions or the repercussions of their actions.
فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes the surah and says, so those people who do a particle's weight of good, he will see it, meaning he will see the reward of it.
وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ
And the person and the people who will do a particle's weight of bad will also see the repercussions of their actions. Here we have to understand one thing, and we will conclude on this, is that what does he mean by good and what does he mean by bad? There are two messages in here. Number one is that the good and bad is that which is considered by Sharia. So, often we find that disbelievers do good deeds as well. Disbelievers give charity. Disbelievers, they also do good things, you know. They are polite. They can be generous. They have worry, concern. All of these things, they can be good parents, etc. And they have good values. So, in the hadith we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them for their good deeds in the world. وَمَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ حَرْثَ الدُّنْيَا نُؤْتِهِ مِنْهَا وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ نَصِيبٍ In the akhirah there is nothing for them. So here is not talking about those good deeds. Here is talking about the good deeds that are considered on the day of Qiyamah. And those are the good deeds that come with Iman. Because Iman is a condition for good deeds to be accepted. A person who doesn't have Iman can do all the good deeds in the world, it won't take him to Jannah. A person could do no good deeds, but he just has Iman, and the Iman will take him to Jannah. So that, those good deeds that come with Iman. And number two, those good deeds that have not been spoilt by bad deeds, or by not having sincerity. A person can pray so much namaz, but if he prays namaz with the intention that everyone will call me Sufi, everyone will call me, you know, Bahut Sufi Admi, or he's a very pious person, you know, make him our imam now. Then he's not doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's doing it for the people. This is not a good deed, this is a sin. Yeah? So, and then there's another hadith, Mal Muflis, the hadith of Mal Muflis, the Prophet said that who is the bankrupt person? He comes on the day of Qiyamah with a whole mountain of good deeds. And what happens? This is that a person comes, he says that he abused me in the world, he oppressed me, he took my rights, he didn't fulfill my rights. So then his good deeds will go away, his good deeds will go away. And then mountains of good deeds will be finished. So all of these good deeds are not what Sharia considers here. Sharia considers the good deeds that come with Iman and that are still there, they remain unspoiled. And the bad deeds that are considered here are those bad deeds that have not been forgiven. Every time, كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَّى وَخَيْرُ الْقَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that every son of Adam, every person is a sinner. The best sinner is the one who makes tawbah. So, like for example, is a hadith where Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had this surah, he started crying. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he consoled him, said Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, says, you know, Allah forgives his sins. So don't think that, you know, every sin that you commit is going to be, you know, looked at over here. We should make a habit that whenever we commit a sin, and we do commit sins, we should make tawbah straight away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will wipe this sin away. It will never exist ever again. That's the nature of Allah. And another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consoled the Sahaba. They were crying when they heard this hadith. They consoled the Sahaba. He said that, you know, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا وَمَنْ جَاءَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ فَلَا يُجْزَى إِلَّا مِثْلَهَا Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he reminded the Sahaba of the verse of the Quran that when you do one good deed, Allah will give you 10 times. You do a bad deed, Allah will only give you one. Yeah. So there is much to fear in this surah as much as there is to rejoice as well. There is the glad tidings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that make tawbah, do good deeds, you will be rewarded. But at the same time, you know, fear the day of Qiyamah as well. And the last, the very, very final thing that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us in this hadith, and one discussion amongst the scholars can be also explained here. And there is the discussion that can a Muslim ever be in Jahannam forever? And the answer is that no. No matter how sinful a Muslim is, if he passes away with Iman, so just for argument's sake, for example, if a person was born a Muslim and he spent his entire life committing sins, he never prayed a single salah, he never did any of his faraid, never did anything. But the point here is that he passed away on Iman. Then he will go to Jahannam if Allah wants him to, for a period of time until all of these sins are recompensated for. And right at the end, lastly, his Iman, he never did a single good deed, but Iman itself is a good deed. So that one good deed will take him to Jannah. Because some scholars, some people have said that, no, you know, if a person doesn't pray his namaz, he'll be in Jahannam forever, etc., etc. No, this is not true. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ. Yeah, this Iman that he has taken to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a very, very great deed in itself. So he will have to be rewarded for that. And the reward for Iman is Jannah خَالِدًا مُخَلَّدًا فِيهَا أَبَدًا. That Jannah forever and ever and ever. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to experience Husnul Khatima and end and leave the world on a good note and leave the world in a way that we have asked Allah for forgiveness for all our sins. And Ya Allah, take us from this world in a clean state, in a state where we don't even have a single sin to our name, and in a state where our Iman is strong and we are in close proximity with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So much more to say on the surah, but time restricts us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability and the true understanding and love for the Holy Quran. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.